Hi, welcome. I'm Melissa Nielsen with Waldorf Essentials, and I'm so glad you've joined us today. Before I get started, I want to tell you to go ahead and get a pen and a piece of paper. I want you to be able to take notes. I think that this is going to be a great webinar for those of you who know us and for those of you who are brand new to us. I think that you will find a lot of, hopefully, a lot of things that you can put into action right now. And we're also going to talk about some products that we have that really will help you on your journey. So I want you to get a pen and a piece of paper and sort of get that while I'm just introducing myself. So for those of you who know me, this is going to just be review. If you don't know me, I'm a homeschooling mom of five, and I've been homeschooling for a lot of years. I've been working with families for just over 10 years consistently as a consultant. My oldest is 20, and we Waldorf homeschooled all the way through the grades with him. And my second one is 18, and he actually went to public school when he was a sophomore in high school. And the things we did at home translated great. In fact, he sent me a message. He's just getting ready to graduate, and so he's having those final conversations with counselors and stuff. And he sent me a message the other day. He's like, "Mom, I only needed two classes this semester." I said, "How did that happen?" He said, "All of the stuff you turned in on my transcript, all counted, and then some." So he was super excited because he only needed two classes his last semester. So what senior in high school doesn't only want two classes? He was like way impressed. I said, "Oh, so you finally have a really good testimony of homeschooling." He's like, "Yeah, I do." So so that's my son that's just become an adult. I have a 16-year-old daughter that lives at home with us, and I have a 10-year-old son, almost 11, and a 5-year-old daughter, almost 6. So at home this year, we are K-1. We are K-1, 4th grade, and 10th grade. So today we're really going to be focusing on getting you out of struggle and into peace. And, you know, I've talked a lot. I don't know if you've not seen our journal that I've talked about. It's called Planning for Peace. And for some reason, it's mirrored. I'm not sure why. I asked my husband about that this morning. I have no idea why it's backwards. But anyway, it's called Planning for Peace. And the reason why I think you should really highly consider this journal is because it takes you through every single step that I have done in my homeschooling. And I've done a lot of planning things in the past. And I've shared what I thought was everything. But then I realized over the last year that there are things that I do that I must not have really been sharing, or that I must have been, you know, missing, because there are still steps that are missing from, you know, sort of what people are telling me they're doing. But there's steps that we end up doing together when I consult with people. So really what I've done is I've taken a lot of the things that we end up doing when we have a consult, and I put them in a planner. I'm sort of really making you look at those things. So we're going to today go through a few of them. So that's why I said I want you to have a pen and a piece of paper handy, because we're going to do something that I find incredibly important. And we're going to first work on ranking how you feel about certain key areas of your life. And I'm going to grab a sip of my tea. Hold on one second, or I'm going to lose my voice. And we don't want that to happen. So I want you to get your pen and paper out. If you have your journal already, and you already part of the Planning for Peace program, we're just going to be working through some of the month one stuff. So you can, if you don't have your hard copy in your hands, you can print off these forms. Actually, you can just pull down the digital copy of it. So I want you to rank from 1 to 10, 1 being, I feel really crappy about this, 10 being, I'm doing pretty dang good at this. And this is just a snapshot in time for right now. This is not I want you to evaluate, because so much of what we do and what makes us successful is looking at where we've been. That doesn't mean we have to be mired in it. That doesn't mean we have to dwell on it. It means we have to look at it and go, okay, this is where I've been. This is where I want to go. I have to figure out sort of how I'm feeling about where I've been in order to know where I want to go. And that's a key step that is missing. If you are really struggling, I'm going to submit that that's a key step that's missing in what you're doing. If you are really struggling about having peace in your home, you are not doing enough of observing. You are just trying to put Band-Aids on things. And I am not about Band-Aids. I am about healing. Band-Aids are great to cover things up, but we need to work on healing homes. And a lot of our other work, you know, we do a ton of work with Waldorf, but a lot of our other work is all about parenting. And so if you're new to us, you know, we work on how to parent. You know, a lot of parents come to Waldorf and they're attachment parents. And so they think that Waldorf is this great, like, segue into that, into like a depth of that. But here's what happens. Attachment parenting, and I've been an attached parent for 20 years, more than 20 years. Attachment parenting is amazing, but you have to adapt as your kids adapt. So if you don't grow as they grow, and you're still trying to parent a 10-year-old like they're a 5-year-old, it will not work. So you have to adapt as they grow. And you have to continually evaluate yourself. You have to be doing a good deal of inner work. And we talk about that in all of our programs. We talk about that a lot in our Planning for Peace journal. It's so important to your own health, for not just yourself and your homeschool, but your marriage, or any partnership you're in, even if you're a single mom, because I was a single mom for a time, all of those things, you have to really have the ability to really look at where you're at. And then you have to be willing to make change. I mean, because that's looking at where you're at and then not doing anything about it, that's sort of, and then just whining about it, that's sort of an unhealthy way to look at things. But you look at these things and then you have to make a plan from there. So if you've got your pen and paper ready, we're going to start ranking. Remember, one being, you would really, in order to have a one, you would have to have done nothing. Oh yeah, I wanted this to be a goal, but I didn't do one thing about it. That would be a one. 10 would be, again, I rocked this. I'm continually working in this. I feel really good about it. I rank very few things 10, only because I always feel, and I'm, you know, I'm cleric, so it's just how I'm, that's just how I'm wired. I always feel like I can do better at something. And so most of the time, the highest I will rank something is an 8, sometimes a 9, but I always feel like there's room for improvement on things. And so that's sort of where I'm coming from. Different temperaments will rank differently. But really, like I said, the only way you would be a 1 is if you did nothing. So, all right, first one. This is your personal rhythm. Rank it from 1 to 10. Next would be your family rhythm. Holding the space. How are you holding the space? Sorry, I'm turning my page here. And you don't have to write anything next to it right now. I just want you to rank it and write down what. So write down rhythm, personal, and then number, because you're going to go back to these later. And later you're going to spend some time with them. The next thing I want you to rank is your planning. Then rank your main lessons. Rank your art, handwork, and music. Again, that's relating to the curriculum. Rank your confidence from 1 to 10. Rank your personal growth. Rank your physical health. Rank your relationship with Source or God, the great spaghetti bowl, whatever it is that you want to call it. Rank your relationship with your partner. And rank your relationship with your kids. So this is an exercise that I do on a regular basis because it tells me a lot. It tells me a lot when I sit down and I look at those key areas, and you might have other key areas that are in addition to this. These are the key areas that I see come up again and again and again when I work with homeschooling families. And I work with hundreds of families a year. These are the things that tend to come up most often. And these are the things that I tend to rank most often in my life. Like how, you know, and you could maybe, so I'm going to give you some examples because I don't want you to feel bad about things. So like my relationship with Source, I continually rank around 6 or 7 because I feel like I'm doing good at it, but I'm continually wanting to do more. Like, who doesn't want to know more about God? Like, I could walk down that path all day long. So, you know, I'm in continual Looking for better depth and for better connection for myself. Relationship with my partner. Eric and I have an amazing relationship, amazing marriage, but I still only rank it like an 8. Why? Because we're not, there are always things that I know I can improve about myself. And I know he would rank it about an 8 too. So it's not that we feel badly about where we're at. It's like, okay, well, we're doing really good, but we'd really like to do like even better than that. My relationship with my kids, I consistently rank about a 7 or an 8 because in general, all five people I have to think about, in general, that, you know, and I'm thinking when I'm doing this ranking, I'm ranking all my relationship with all of them together. But then I also sort of go back through and I rank each one of them separately. I go, all right, how's my relationship with Harry? It's really good right now because he lives in Colorado. So he's not here at home, but he's coming home in September. He's serving a mission for our church and he's done in September. And he said to me the other day, Mom, I know I'd like to get a job and move out as quickly as possible. And I said, oh, son, I think we'll have an apartment ready for you when you get home. Because I love him dearly, but I don't think we're going to lift a ranking. So like I said, I would rank my relationship with Harry really high right now. My relationship with my 16-year-old daughter, we have a really good relationship. But gosh, there are those hormones that get in her way, and then those hormones get in my way. So I'm continually looking for ways to open communication with her. And for me, a lot of that is spent on my knees, like asking God for help. Like I want to be the support that she needs. And that so that changes. My relationship with my 5-year-old, she's got SPD. And so those of you who have kids with special needs, you know it's really easy to sort of put a little block up. And I'm continually working to not have that block there. So I do things daily that make me connect with her because it's very easy. You know, my oldest has special needs and she's got special needs. Whew, it's really easy when you're a mom with special needs to find ways to sort of block that child. Yeah, you have to parent them, but it's natural to go, okay, but I can't be in that emotional space. So I have to force myself. So if you're in a place where you've got children with special needs and you're really struggling with connecting with them, you got to find ways to connect with them because that's part of this whole big thing. If you're struggling, for certain reasons and you've got to figure out how to navigate those reasons. So I want you to really take the time to, and of course we're just going to walk through them quickly here, but that's why I wanted you to write them down and to take notes because I want you to spend some time thinking about these things later. So if you rated your planning a 3, I want you to ask yourself why. Did you not do the depth of planning that you needed to? Did you not continually go through? Did you, I have a lot of parents that say, well, I didn't even read the curriculum from beginning to end. I go, what? You need to read it from page 1 to the end. Every time you get a new curriculum, all of it, all the lessons, you read it for different reasons. The first time you read it through to understand everything that's there. The second time you read it through to start with your planning mind. And you got to have time to do that. You can't do that all cramming. So you have to take the time. So, you know, so much of this process and the reason why I created the journal was so that you would take the time to plan. And the journal spread out over 5 months. So you start now and you will be ready for the fall. So if you live on the other end of the world and your school year doesn't start till next January or you haven't done any planning and it started last January, get busy. These are things that you should do on a regular basis. I continually rank where I'm at with these key areas because I want to know, especially if I'm feeling off. If I'm feeling off and I can't put my finger on it, I'll sit down and go through these and go, all right, where is it that I'm feeling off? Is it something in my planning I'm feeling off? Is it something that has nothing to really do with homeschool but has everything to do with me and the kids outside of homeschool, or is it just about me? Because gosh, moms, guess what? A lot of times it's about us, and there's something we're struggling with. Maybe somebody knocked you down in your confidence and you're having a hard time getting back up, or maybe you are going through a divorce and that is that's really hard. You know, I've been there. That is like, that's probably the hardest thing I ever did was get a divorce. And it was harder than what came after. I mean, I've been divorced for 13 years and back into court. Eric, the first six, seven, 8 years that Eric and I were married, we were in court every year. And we spent a crazy amount of money. And so I get it. It's hard. And those are the times when I started really implementing so much of the evaluation stuff because I felt like I didn't want to be constantly trying to catch up. And so when I learned how to evaluate where we were and where we'd been, what we'd actually done versus what my mind, because remember, the mind is Satan's lawyer, the heart is a servant to God. Imprint that on yourself. When your mind gets overactive and out of control and you can't stop thinking about what you haven't done, it's very useful to use evaluation tools so that you're not feeling that way. So right now, if you are like having some major struggles, I feel you. I get it. I've been there. If you are, in just in the middle of the school year and you guys have been sick for a month, then the things that I'm going to suggest are one, you do whatever you can to get over that sickness. So I will like forego, I will pull money out of savings. I will pull money from places that whatever you have to do to get yourself the supplements you need to get better, do it. And then you have to be proactive about really protecting your immunity. That's something that has been about 13 years ago. I had special blessing, and in the blessing, the guy said to me that I was really going to need to work on making sure that I kept my family healthy. And at the time, I was like, oh, whatever, I just sort of put it in the back of my head. But about 3 years after that, we had the swine flu. And so that was a lot of years ago. Let's see, Sam was 10. So he was like, so that was like 8 years, seven, 8 years ago. So we had the swine flu and we had the worst case of pink eye ever. And like ever, all in the same winter. And we were so ill and so sick. And I was like, that's why. That's why that was in that blessing. And ever since then, I have done everything I possibly can to keep our immunity in check. Sorry, I'm looking at comments. And my screen doesn't want to show them to me. Sorry, guys. I'm unpinning that. There we go. So if you're struggling with sickness, I'm going to submit to you there are a lot of things that you can do to really work with your immune system. So we had one sick bug this winter that just seemed to drag on. That's the first time we've really been sick as a family since we had swine flu like 8 years ago. And it's because I sort of fell down on a lot of the immune stuff that I do. So there's so much you can do. So much you can do. Just start researching it. If if you're a Waldorf family and you're struggling with sickness, just post it on your timeline. What do you guys do for immunity? And see what people do because there are so many things that you can do. There are things that after this last sickness that we had this Christmas or this winter, I was like, I ain't doing that again. I don't like to be sick. Cholerics don't like to be sick. We don't like to be tied down. We don't, no ma'am. So, and I know nobody likes to be sick, but we get like really grouchy and really bossy. And so nobody likes it when I'm sick either. So, okay, so a mom says to me, we've got spring fever here and a little lazy in our current. I understand that. I live in San Diego and it's nice here 300 days of the year. So what I do is I make sure that I take a break. And this is something I was talking to a mom about the other day. And I know I've talked about it in other arenas, but as you're getting ready to plan for the new year and you're sort of evaluating where you are, I take a break about every 10 days. About every 10 days in our schooling, there's a break in there. And that's just a one day break. We might go to the zoo that day, or we're going to the beach that day. And yeah, we go to the beach every day, but we take that day off and that's what we're doing. It's allotted to something that's not school related. When we take a break about every 10 days, now that means we don't take all the breaks that everybody else takes at Christmas and at Easter. We take some of them. And we do some stuff throughout the summer. And I'll talk about that here in a minute. But if I don't take a break about every 10 days, then the sanguine in me starts to get really fidgety and find reasons to not do school. And I know that about myself. So if you are struggling with staying on your plan, then make sure you have enough breaks scheduled in there because the breaks are golden. And they really sort of give you that oomph to go again. Now, if you've had a lot of sickness and you don't feel like you can take a lot of breaks, find ways to squeeze them in there. Steal from other vacation times so that you can, so that you can absolutely have that time, because you need the breaks, especially when you're teaching the grades. Most importantly, when you're teaching the grades, it's important when they're little to go and have fun too. But when you have big kids, you've got to take the time to make sure that you take a break, and the kids want it too. You know, when they're in public school, a lot of kids get like half day on Friday. I don't get half day as a parent, like ever. So, and they get teacher training days and teacher planning days and parent-teacher conferences, and we don't get that. So take those days and make sure that you plan them into your plan. So when you're putting your plan together for the year, make sure that you account for those. That ends up being about two of those days a month for us. And sometimes it's one, and then maybe the next month it'll be three. But we, we make sure that we have enough days in there that we are not thinking about school, so that we are really feeling good about everything. Okay, so hopefully you've gone through and you've done this ranking. So the other evaluation I'm going to talk to you about is usually when people, sorry, I'm looking down here looking for the page. When people send me an email or drop me a PM and they ask about, what, I don't know what's going on with my child. This, and this is happening. And so these are the questions that I ask. So I'm going to give you this evaluation, and this is the evaluation that you should do before you ask for help, whether it be for me or just putting it up on Facebook. Do this evaluation first. A lot of times, I'm just going to put this out there. Be really careful about asking for advice on Facebook. I know we all have some great friends that are often willing to help. But really and truly, you are the steward over these children. So you've got to do some of this work first. So don't put it out there until you've done the work yourself. So these are the questions that I usually ask. And there's four for each child. Generally, I will say, tell me about recent outbursts and what the topics are. Tell me about their eating habits. Tell me about their sleeping habits and their academic struggles. So that would be for bigger kids, obviously. And then I ask them to take time to really think about those things and to really journal about those things. And 9 times out of 10, when I'm talking with a client and we're going through these, we uncover it either in sleep habits, eating habits, turmoil that's going on at home. If you've got struggles going on with, say, your 4-year-old, and you and your husband are fighting constantly in front of your kids, you're not getting them to bed before 9 o'clock at night, and you're feeding them McDonald's, well, there's your answer. Your answer is that super simple. And sometimes we want to argue with ourselves, and we don't want that answer to be so simple, because that answer reflects on us. And we don't want it to reflect on us. It would be so much easier to just be able to put a Band-Aid over whatever's going on with 4-year-old Johnny. And that's not the case. That's not how parenting works. This job is not like that. I have to laugh. My husband said he saw this meme on Facebook the other day. It was an advertisement for Kraft. He wasn't even sure how he got on the thread that showed him that. But it was something about how Kraft dinner solves parenting problems. And I was like, what? No, it doesn't. That causes parenting problems in a lot of cases. So think about what you're feeding them. And I know a lot of you are on special diets and you're working really hard. You want to make sure that you have alternatives for that too. You know, when we were eating, and I'm fairly gluten-free. I will do sourdough bread, but for the most part, I'm gluten-free. Otherwise, I pay for it. I don't have a celiac allergy, but I have, like arthritis type pain that happens since my stroke if I'm not careful about gluten. And so, I understand having those things. When Harry was little, he was wheat free and dairy free. And so we were pretty much vegans, for a long time. And so, So I understand making special meals. I understand cooking like majorly in advance. You have to plan for those things. All of those pieces don't come together smoothly if you don't make a plan for it. So, and I know I talk about that a lot. I know that that's sort of the hallmark of Melissa. Did you plan and how's your rhythm? But I really think the best thing that you can do is make sure you're laying it all out. You need to know what your menu is. You need to know what you're doing for school. That's how you have peace. When you have struggles that are, not, and I'm not talking about divorce, sickness, death in family, new baby. I'm not talking, that's not a struggle. That's a life event. That's not a struggle. You might struggle through that life event or find it challenging, but that's not a struggle. Struggles are usually, you're floundering and you're trying to figure out why. That's where I'm talking to you. You need to do the evaluation pieces. You need to step back, and then you need to be okay with what you're seeing, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to see that it's something that you can do about something about, even if, because after my divorce, my problems weren't over. They were just beginning. Like I said, we spent 8 years in litigation with my ex-husband, so we constantly had somebody else that was that was trying to parent or undermine what we were doing, constantly. So with that, you have to figure out, you have to plan, you have to make contingency, you have to, like we had detox days. My kids were there almost 50% of the time. And so in order for us to have peace, we would have to have that break day would have to be that day they came back. And we had to do something connecting and fun. And if I didn't do it and I didn't initiate it, then guess what? It wouldn't happen. So it all comes down to you and how you're working it. So don't let that discourage you though. That just means you have choices. And choices are amazing. Choices make you an agent in your life and not an object. So utilize those choices in a good way. Excuse me. So, I want to sort of go beyond that. If you've got questions about sort of what we've talked about so far, I really think that if you don't have the Planning for Peace journal, it's an important part of what you're doing for the next school year. And really, if you're not planning for, even if you're not really planning for school, it's an important journal for self-discovery. We go through making a family mission statement. We go through evaluating things with your partner. We go through more evaluations with your kids. So even though it's a homeschool planning journal, it's a lot more than that. I want to talk about sort of support when you are on this journey. Oh, wait, so I'm going to answer some questions. Oh, okay. So Vidya asks the first question when I was talking about the child evaluation, to give an example how you would work through it of a recent outburst. Well, what I mean by that is like yesterday, and you were not at co-op yesterday. Yesterday, we have co-op on Tuesdays, and Vidya is part of our San Diego co-op. And my kids are like always really well behaved because tend to hold the space with them usually. Yesterday, Sarai had a tantrum at co-op. And I found myself laughing because I thought, these moms really need to see my kids have a tantrum. They really need to see it because they do have tantrums, especially her. She's got SPD and she just was falling apart. She wanted to go to the playground, and my rule was, you gotta eat 2 pieces of cheese because I know if you don't get some protein in your body, then going to the playground is just gonna make you deflate and fall apart even worse than you're falling apart now. So you can fall apart about not having this piece of cheese, but you're going to sit right here next to me and fall apart about it. And I'm going to continue to do the things that I'm doing with the other kids, and we'll just go from there. So when I say look at recent outbursts, like for her, I would look at that. What was that recent outburst about? Well, she was hangry, and she didn't want to stop and eat before, and that's what that outburst was about. So when I say look at recent outbursts, I want you to look at what was going on in that outburst. When I look at her outburst in specific, she didn't have a great breakfast yesterday morning. So that also then set her up for being more hungry. And we all know that a lot of little kids will not eat when they're hungry. They'll just get combative, and then it's a cycle. And so you have to get them slowed down to get them to eat. So in her case, when I look at that outburst, she didn't eat a lot. Her sleep wasn't as good the night before. So there are reasons that sort of go around. When you're looking at specific outbursts, it's easier to then answer those other questions about sleep habits and eating habits, because then you are looking at specific situations instead of saying, Sarai is always a mess. She's not always a mess. And that's often the trap we fall into as parents. I get a lot of emails that say, well, these things are happening constantly and he just always seems to be up in arms. And I go, well, let's talk about recent outbursts. Spread them out. Let's look at the big picture of those recent outbursts. Talk to me about what's going on. So that's why that evaluation piece is so important. It's so important that you look at everything that's going on when you have struggles like that, because you really want to know, knowledge is power. Not when you know, okay, it's about sleep. And so I'm just going to say something about sleep here. If you have kids that are under 7 and not napping and they are not going to bed until 9 o'clock, shame on you. You get them to bed by 7:30. End of discussion. They need sleep. They're going to get up whatever time they get up. Some kids are going to get up early, even if they're going to bed early. Some kids are going to get up a little bit earlier, but you need to get them in bed, period. And you need to be able to be off duty. So much of what goes on in our relationships with our partners and what's going on peacefully in our house centers around sleep. Figure out the sleep piece. Sleep is so vitally important, even if they're napping. So if they're napping, you need to have naps that are done by about 3. Otherwise, your whole evening is going to be a mess. So you want naps that are done by about 3. You want movement, movement, movement. A lot of movement, a crazy amount of movement. I want, like, when people say to me, how much movement? Okay, so I'm just gonna tell you, we live in a condo, so we don't have a yard. And we used to have a yard, but now we have a better neighborhood, no yard, so we're walking constantly. We walk right after breakfast, about a mile. We walk at about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, about a mile. And my youngest is 5. And we often walk, especially since the time change and she doesn't want to settle down at night. We walk before bed about a mile. So I want her body moved. By the time we get home from that nighttime walk after dinner, she's often going in her pajamas for that nighttime walk. She's like crawling into bed because she needs it. So I understand hard kids and sleep. I have 5 children. None of them are the same. None of them. They have all been all over the place. Some of them were great sleepers. Some of them were up all night. Some of them, you know, my 16-year-old daughter struggled with, she had some depression struggles. And so she had some struggles with sleep. And so much of depression has to do with sleep. When she sleeps, she's happy. When she doesn't sleep, it starts to pick away at her. So you've got to really work on sleep. And it really is important from little ones all the way up. So if you're having a struggle with your sleep, then that's a really big part of that physical health evaluation. So, you know, when I was talking about evaluating things from, I'm going to grab it, from 1 to 10, one of those was physical health. So that's not where you write, I want to lose 50 pounds. That's not where you write that. I mean, yeah, that could be a goal, but like for me, my physical health, I had a stroke 3 years ago. It would be 3 years on the 28th of April. I can't believe it's been that long. And I still have some stuff that's lingering and stuff that I don't want to deal with. And so I'm going to deal with it because I don't want to deal with what's going on. So I'm going to face it head on. So when I'm talking about physical health, those are the sorts of things. Are you struggling with your sleep? You need to wrestle that sleep thing to the ground. And I know a lot of people will say to me, oh, well, there's all these studies that say that, you know, nomads slept at this time and nobody sleeps all the night and blah. I'm hearing you, but here's what I'm saying to you. You have kids. You have a job as a mom. You've got to do the things that make your life peaceful, or you're going to run yourself ragged. So get sleep. Ask for help. Demand help if you need to. That means if your husband is not helping or your partner is not helping, you need to say, hey, buddy, you know, I cooked your dinner. I need you to watch these kids. I am tired. I need a nap. Hopefully you don't have to say it like that. But if you do, get through. You've got to ask for help. And if he says, I can't help you, then you need to say, then I'm going to hire somebody. And you do it. This lie that attachment parents don't hire sitters, it's a lie. You need to find somebody and you can find somebody that has your values, interview people, and get the help you need. This is vital to your existence as a homeschooling mom, as an attached mom, and in order to be emotionally healthy, you need help. So get it. And now I'm going to sort of walk into how you can get help online with homeschooling stuff. So if you're not a member of our Thinking, Feeling, Willing program, I'm just going to talk about that right now. Our Thinking, Feeling, Willing program is amazing. You ask anybody who's part of it. They're going to tell you, yeah, when I work it, I do really good at it. When I don't work it, I can't do anything about it when moms don't work it. So you have to work it. You have to work the program. When you work the program works. We work on getting your rhythm in a good place. Now, what do I mean by that? Because, you know, rhythm changes. Rhythm changes, and you have to be able to adapt with it. So you start out by learning how to set a rhythm and how to work a rhythm. And then, you know, you have to be, I'm not there. So you have to be the one to actually do something with the rhythm that we put together. And in Waldorf, it's everybody sort of thinks that rhythm has to do with what day you paint and what day you're baking. And yeah, that's about this much of it. The big picture has to do with meals, what time you're going to bed, what time you're getting up, when you're doing those main lessons, how your planning was, when you're going for walks. There's so much more to rhythm than about when you're painting. So if you're struggling with your rhythm and you're feeling like you're really struggling with sort of getting that piece in order, I cannot recommend our Thinking, Feeling, Willing program enough. It is an amazing program. It will teach you how to adapt as your kids adapt. It also teaches you how to really understand the Waldorf curriculum. If you are on this path and you really want to understand what it is that you're teaching your kids, because here's the thing. I know that it's hard to read Steiner if you've never read Steiner, because he's kind of wordy, but I'm kind of one of those weird people that really likes to read Steiner. Once you get an understanding of how he writes, then, or how he spoke, because all of these are lectures often, that some of them are writings, but a lot of them are lectures, then you sort of get a feel for him. But if you are using the Waldorf curriculum with your kids, whether it be ours or whoever's, it doesn't matter, to really understand it is vital if you're going to be on this path. You really have to understand, and you really have to work on those mom lessons. Lauren says, are you talking about working through the mom lessons? Yes, I am. I'm talking about the mom lessons that go with Thinking, Feeling, Willing. The program is an amazing program that I put together a few years ago and is constantly being added to. And the mom lessons are part of that program. The rest of that program, depending on which membership you have, includes includes membership in a secret Facebook group with a bunch of amazing women. I think you guys are awesome, supporting each other, working the program together. So anyways, back to the mom lessons. The mom lessons are rhythm, really understanding the curriculum. And again, if you are working with Waldorf, you need to know what the man said. So the mom lesson two is all about understanding the curriculum and understanding the whys. You don't, especially if you are in a situation where you're going to be challenged by Aunt Susie, who thinks your kid needs to be in school, you want to be able to say something intelligent about that. And so I really am a huge supporter of understanding Steiner. It will change how you look at things. It will change. Once you start to really understand Steiner's work, and you start to trust it, and you start to see it unfold ahead of you, then you trust it more, and you go, okay, this man's onto something, and you want to get more in depth, and you want to see it, you want to see the fruition. You're like, it builds, and you're gonna find things that you're like, eh, that's not for me, and you just set it aside. Somebody, Tanya says, can you recommend a good first read by Steiner? Kingdom of Childhood tends to be the one that is a good go-to, because it seems to be one of the easiest. The writing is mostly accessible. So that I think that that's a good one to start at. We also have a mom lesson that's all about inner work. And within that inner work mom lesson, there are 40 hours of inner work audios that are from our Beacon program that we ran a few years ago. 40 hours. It's an amazing piece of work. It's a huge jumping off point for really understanding yourself, your connection with source, especially if it's strained. And even if it's not, even if it's strong, it's an amazing piece. We go through learning all the ins and outs of form drawing, all the ins and outs of understanding your temperament and everybody else's around you, and how and why do you even need to know that? And why will it help you be a better parent? Why will it help you be a better partner? How will it help you like understand Uncle John, who's this weirdo? And but now you'll be able to understand, trust me. Understanding temperament, once you really get it, such light bulb moments. Eric and I have the most fun at family events. We just sort of sit back and we're quiet. And we're like, especially me, you know, I'm kind of a loud person. But then when I'm quiet, people are like, oh no, she's studying me again. I am. I'm studying you. So temperament. We teach you how to draw, how to paint, how to model. We talk about movement a lot. We go through the festivals a lot. We're doing a new mom lesson on circle time. And it's going to include video, lots of songs. So many pieces that you are pulling from different places in the Waldorf world, trying to find videos on YouTube. It's all in one spot. It's all in one spot. It's an amazing program. And again, we have a lot of moms that are in the program too, that are on the support group. I'm on the support group. I'm always there to help. I spend a lot of time, you know, helping families. Also, if you're new to us and you're not on the Ask Melissa group, you can join that group and ask me just about anything. And I'm happy to answer it. And from what I had for breakfast to something about the curriculum, it's no holds barred. But I really want to encourage our Thinking, Feeling, Willing program because it's a steal of a deal. I don't want you to ever feel like you're in the struggle alone. I understand what it's like, but I think that really one thing that I'd like you to do for everybody that's still listening and anybody that listens to this on the download, I want you to take that word struggle and I want you to turn it around. I want you to turn it into challenge because challenge sounds different than struggle. Struggle implies that you are really fighting for all you can. Challenge implies, hey, this is something I can do. So look at it differently. When you look at things differently, the things you look at change. And then you're not feeling the big angry feelings about them, stressed and frustrated feelings about them. So sort of step back from them a little bit. Give them some space. You know, I think that one thing that we sorry, I'm gonna look at another comment here. I think that one thing that's really important is that we have to realize whenever we talk about something, we give it energy and we sort of give it momentum. So what things do you want to have good momentum? Do you want there to be momentum in how mad you are at your neighbor or how upset you are at your partner or how you know how mad you are at the person at the grocery store that was rude to you? Do you want there to be momentum with that? Or do you want there to be momentum in peace and love? And hugs and kisses with your partner, and hugs from your kids, and walks and laughter. That's the momentum you want to build. So, if you are in a place of really struggling, I am challenging you to turn it into a challenge. Or, I like this, Kathy says, an opportunity to grow. Yes, ma'am, it is an opportunity to grow. I always step back and I look at what's my part in this, and how can I right this minute change things? When things are going to hell in a handbasket, it's usually my fault. I go, wait a minute, I need to fix that. So you just go, all right. And I have stopped mid-yell before. I have been angry and then stopped mid-yell and started laughing. And my kids are like, oh, she's so crazy. But then we go and we have fun and we break that cycle. The only way you're going to break the cycle is to be determined to break it. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect every day. It means that you're going to be striving. It means you're going to be on this path and that you're going to do hopefully better today than you did yesterday. And hopefully tomorrow will be better than today. And you just have to just move right along. So I hope you all have a wonderful day.